Coming up on KUCB News, Unalaska flyers are stranded again, and 1 year later, Bering Sea crabbers remember a lost crew. Stay tuned.
Local news is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Thursday, February 8th, 2018. Unalaska is facing its third day of flight cancellations. On Tuesday, the problem was weather, but since then, the trouble has stemmed from a navigational beacon at the airport.
For whatever reason, that piece of equipment expired before it was recertified.
Missy Roberts is a spokesperson for Penair, Unalaska's only carrier with flights to and from Anchorage. She says the airline won't fly until the Federal Aviation Administration completes a missed inspection of its non-directional radio beacon, which helps planes to navigate to the island safely. The FAA hasn't responded to KUCB's calls for comment, but Roberts says inspectors are waiting in Anchorage for fog to lift. They're exempt from any federal government shutdown, so once the weather clears up, she says they'll fly to Unalaska in their own plane to examine the beacon.
Soon as that equipment is back up and running, we are ready to roll.
Flights will resume tomorrow at the earliest. So for now, more than 100 passengers are stranded in Unalaska and Anchorage, waiting for flights to resume. This Sunday marks the one-year anniversary of the loss of the fishing vessel Destination. Its sinking ranks as the Bering Sea crab fleet's deadliest accident in more than a decade. The cause remains a mystery, but memories of the vessel are inspiring fishermen to stay extra safe this winter.
First one would be Captain Jeff Hathaway. Larry O'Grady.
Last March, Unalaskans and seasonal fishermen held a memorial service at the Norwegian Rat Saloon. They rang a bell six times, once for each member of the Destination's lost crew.
Charles Glenn Jones, Bay Ray Vinsler, Kai Hammack, and Derek Seibel.
All of the men died when their vessel disappeared near St. George Island without a mayday signal. Almost a year later, the tragedy is still fresh in the minds of many fishermen, especially crabbers who are out dropping pots in the same area the Destination went down.
Do I think about it? Yes.
Rip Carlton is captain of the Patricia Lee. He's fished in the Bering Sea for almost 40 years, and he was good friends with Jeff Hathaway, the captain of the Destination.
He was a good guy. I could tell you a lot of funny stories about him, but I won't.
Carlton has just finished his last offload of the Apelio crab season. He says it went well, safe, in part because memories of his friend motivated him to be even more careful than usual.
We put a stack of gear to leave Dutch Harbor, and even though I know what the stability is on the Patricia Lee, I went and double-checked my double-check, and he was definitely on my mind.
Carlton isn't the only crabber who took extra precautions this winter. According to Scott Wilwert, fishermen turned up in droves at a safety event where they could check their crab pots.
We weighed pots on every one of the 45 or 46 boats that we got on.
Wilwert manages Alaska's Commercial Fishing Vessel Safety Program for the U.S. Coast Guard. He says verifying those weights has helped crabbers update their stability books, which outline how much equipment each vessel can carry safely. That's key information, as boats can capsize or sink if they're overloaded.
We did find, you know, almost across the board, that the gear that folks are using today is likely heavier than what their stability book was made up for maybe back 5, 10, 15 years ago.
It's possible that overloading played a role in the loss of the destination, and we should know soon. Wilwert says the Marine Board of Investigation is almost finished with its report on the accident. While they wait to learn more, he says fishermen should stay on top of their safety practices by confirming vessel stability, watching the forecast, and always wearing protective gear. Captain Rip Carlton says everyone he knows in the crab fleet is doing just that, but it never hurts to double check.
Everybody misses Jeff and his crew. I'm just got to try to do the best we can.
This year, officials with the U.S. Coast Guard say the Bering Sea Crab Fleet has reported some disablings, medevacs, and man-overboard situations, but so far, there have been no fatalities or vessel losses. The Unalaska Post Office has shortened the window today when customers can pick up packages. The office is short-staffed, according to Postmaster Jameza Marino-Tickle, so parcel pickup will only be available between 3 and 5 o'clock this afternoon. Marino Tickle says she wants to hire more employees to avoid recurring cutbacks to post office service. She says Unalaskans can apply online at USPS.com. The United States has always had a strong showing in the Winter Games, but not in cross-country skiing. The women's team has never won an Olympic medal, although Alaskan skier Keegan Randall came close in Sochi 4 years ago. Since then, the U.S. women have racked up big wins at international races, and as APRN's Emily Russell reports, the team is hoping to make history in 2018.
It's a bright and cold training day before heading to South Korea, and a handful of Olympic athletes are here in the snowy mountains near Anchorage, Alaska. Keegan Randall pushes one ski and glides on the other, like she's skating on ice. Randall is 5'5" and all muscle, but this 5-time Olympian doesn't take herself too seriously.
What's up with the pink hair?
You know, the pink hair is going on about 12 years now.
For decades, she says it was downhill skiers like Peekaboo Street and Lindsey Vonn claiming the skiing spotlight.
And I was kind of frustrated at the time because cross-country skiing was kind of pushed off as this, oh, you guys just wear spandex and you disappear off in the woods and it's kind of a lame sport. And I was like, no, like sprint racing's coming up. We're like really fast and dynamic. And so I thought, I want to show the fun side. So I put some pink tips in my hair.
With pink tips in her hair and multiple podiums in international races under her belt, Randall's time came to shine 4 years ago at the Winter Olympics in Sochi.
I was sitting in the stands right next to the finish line.
Peggy Shin is a sports journalist and author of a book about the women's cross-country ski team.
And I was all excited because this was going to be the race where the U.S. was going to win a medal.
Women's cross-country skiing made its Olympic debut in 1952, but the American women didn't even field a team until 1972. Since many of these races take place in their backyard, the Scandinavians have dominated the sport. In 2014, though, the American women were set to earn their first Olympic medal. In the quarterfinals of a sprint race, Keegan Randall lunged across the line.
And there was this amazing hush that went over the crowd, and nobody, it was like nobody breathed for a few seconds when they realized what had happened. Like Keegan Randall was not advancing to the semifinals.
That's the beauty of the Olympics and also the agony. It's one day. And if it doesn't quite go right, that's your chance.
Randall still chokes up when she talks about Sochi. But another beauty of the Olympics, they come around every 4 years. And the American team is deeper now. Spending months together racing in Europe every year means they're closer than most teams. And they're more confident than ever.
We definitely have a chance at a medal.
Jessie Diggins has been racking up her own set of medals at international races, like this one in Finland last year.
To the line they come. Jessie Diggins of the United States gets the bronze for the U.S.
Once across the line, Diggins collapses, sprawling out on the snow, skis still attached.
That's probably the best feeling there is.
A feeling the American women could replicate for the first time ever on the Olympic stage.
And that just gives me goosebumps because I know that we are coming into this with a serious fighting chance, and we're going to be swinging hard.
The American women will come out swinging at their first of 6 cross-country ski races on Saturday. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Emily Russell.
The 2018 Winter Olympics have begun in Pyeongchang, South Korea, with the first competitions in biathlon, luge, and ski jumping. The opening ceremony, however, is scheduled for tomorrow afternoon. KTUU Channel 2 News will be broadcasting the ceremony starting at 4 o'clock. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast.